It is so good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. Brother Tony Lombard is going to be speaking for us in just a few moments. He's from here. He's one of the children of this church. He is in Cleveland, going to school, getting educated, learning all this stuff. And he's going to come deliver some of it to us this morning. Hopefully he won't use words we won't understand.
It is so good to be back at Alabaster. It's kind of tough to be the second stringer when you come in here when your main band's on the 15-day DL. You know, you got the starter on the bench, and you brought in and as much as I love Alabama, the only time they ever get scored on is when they put the second team in. So I hope we don't get scored on today while I'm preaching. But I appreciate being here. I love being here. I thank you, Pastor. It is good to be home with my folks. Literally, I have eaten more in the last couple of days. As gorgeous as my wife is, she likes to cook healthy stuff. Ain't nothing tastes worse than healthy stuff. I'm not saying your cooking's bad, baby. It's healthy stuff is bad. Man, when your wife looks like that, you keep her happy all the time. It don't matter. When you look like this and she looks like that, you do whatever you got to do to keep her happy. But I'm home with Mama this week. Son, she been cooking. Man, we had roast and hamburgers. And literally this morning, I ate more this morning than I have in a week at my house. There's two reasons for that. Ain't no groceries in my refrigerator. Because people that work at a school and a church, they don't get paid a lot. It's not very lucrative. We are in Cleveland, and we graduated our undergrad and our graduates, and we both have our master's degrees. And Shirlene got a job right out of the box, and I'm unhireable, evidently. I am the college pastor at South Cleveland Church of God, a young adult pastor, and it's a wonderful ministry. It just don't pay much. I actually don't pay nothing, but but it's nice to have that on your resume. Yeah, I'm at this big church over here. But it was funny. Shirlene came home the other day. I said, Shirlene, I said, baby, I love you, but I made muffins for the kids' breakfast this morning. I said, I washed 4 loads of clothes today, putting in fabric softener. Who does that? Folded them. Looked up a new recipe for spaghetti sauce that I cooked for supper. I said, I cut out coupons. I said, I'm just short of watching soap operas. I said, I just realized I know how to fold a fitted sheet. I said, if I don't get a job soon or go hunting or join a fight club, we're going to be swapping clothes. But it is fun to be up there. We enjoy Cleveland. It's beautiful this time of year. But the thing is, I as a part of the staff of South Cleveland Church of God, one of my duties is to open every service. We have two Sunday morning services, and I get up and I greet everybody, welcome everything, and they just don't appreciate the fact that I end every prayer with amen and roll tide. They're for some reason. That's not really in their agenda. So I don't understand what those guys in orange are thinking up there. I hate that I missed today. That would have been great because I'd have really worn out today. But we are so glad our children are thriving. As you say, you probably wouldn't recognize them. The face is about 6'1" now. She's about this tall, and wearing clothes. I'm like, what has she got on? Who designs these clothes for these little girls now? I'm like, Shirlene, she can't leave the house with that on. But that is what everybody's wearing. Not everybody, because you're not wearing it. So she's getting to that age, and then Judah's just, son, he'd run through a wall if I let him. And most of the time, he just does, whether I let him or not. Son, what are you doing? I don't know. The wall was there. I just thought I'd try to go through it. But they are doing great. Shirlene is doing great, and we are great. We do miss being here. Now, I may have told you this before, but I want to share something with you. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson were went to go camping, and they got their tent ready. They got it set up and where they were going to sleep. And then Dr. Watson and Sherlock Holmes, they weren't exactly what we'd say God-fearing men most of the time. So they went out and partied a little too hard. And they came back and they just fell in there to sleep. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, Sherlock Holmes punches Dr. Watson. He said, "Watson." "Yes, Holmes." He said, "Look up there and tell me what you see." So Dr. Watson looks up there. He said, "There's millions of stars up there." He said, "Well, what's that tell you?" He said, "Well, astrologically, it tells me that that Leo's in the third house. Astronomically, it tells me that there are billions and millions of stars and galaxies out there. And so therefore, that tells me theologically that we are not alone. There is a great creator. There is a great creator. And chronologically, it tells me it's about 3 o'clock in the morning." Holmes said, "That's great." He said, "What does it tell you?" He said, "Watson, you idiot, somebody stole our tent." So today, I did go to the Pentecostal Theological Seminary so I could say God with the extra syllable and everything. And I know some long words like superlapsarianism and what it means. But don't look for that today. Find what God is telling you today. What I'm going to say is not going to be big fancy words because I can't say them. I have massacred more theological terms in seminary than anybody could imagine. In fact, most of my teachers said, "You kind of have an edge." What they're actually saying is, "You ain't got a clue what we're doing here. We're going to pass you just to get you out of here." But don't try to find something deep in this, because what I'm going to tell you today is simple. It's very, very simple. Today I'm going to tell you a story about a farmer. Farmer named Shamgar. Who names their kid that? Did his parents lose a bet with God? Shamgar. Of course, his dad didn't any better. His dad was Anath. Anath. Shirley wouldn't even be able to say that, because in Trinidad they don't have TH. It'd be Anath. It also reminds me of a story. There was a farmer, Farmer Joe. And Farmer Joe finds himself in court because he's suing a trucking company that he had an accident with and caused him some injuries. And so he's there, and they've got Farmer Joe on the stand, and the prosecutor is the lawyer for the big trucking company has him, and he said, "Now, Farmer Joe, you told the officer at the scene that you were fine, and now, weeks later, you're trying to bring a suit against this company for your injuries. Can you explain why you said you were fine?" He said, "Well, I was loading my mule Bessie." He said, "Sir, I'm asking you if you told the officer if you were fine." He said, "Well, I was trying to load my mule Bessie." "Sir, I'm asking you one question. Did you say you were fine?" He said, "I was trying to load my mule." Finally, the judge intervened. He said, "Look, Mr. Counselor, I'd like to hear what the man has to say. Maybe he can answer your question." "Thank you, Judge." So Farmer Joe goes, "I was loading my mule Bessie into the trailer. All of a sudden, over the hill comes this big, huge truck, slams into my truck and trailer, knocked me into a ditch, knocked Bessie into the other ditch, and I'm laying there moaning and groaning in pain. I knew I was broke to pieces, but I could hear Bessie. She was braying. She was groaning. I knew she was hurt bad. Well, the officer showed up on the scene, and he went over to Bessie, and he looked down at her, and he pulled out his pistol and shot her in the head. And he came over to me and said, your mule was really hurt. So I had to put her out of her misery. How are you?" He said, "I'm fine." Today we're going to talk about the last man standing. Now, Shamgar was a farmer much like Farmer Joe. He was just a simple man. Not that farmers are all simple, because evidently now you got to know everything there is to grow something. Because I tried to grow some tomatoes in my backyard the other day and realized that that place in my backyard where I was growing was death row. Because I didn't know if I killed a bunch of tomato plants. My kids came and said, Daddy, they're dying. I said, that's y'all's fault. But the man I'm going to talk about today, his name is Shamgar. And he is found in two obscure passages of Scripture. They're in Judges 3:31, then over in Judges 5 and 6. Now, Shamgar is only mentioned in these two scriptures in the whole Bible. There's only 42 words written about this guy. 42 words total. But I think he gives us one of the most significant examples of how we're supposed to live our lives that you can find in the Word of God. Shamgar was just a man. As a matter of fact, let me read Judges 3:31. After Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. Now this guy was so insignificant, according to our standards, that he couldn't even get a scripture by himself. It had to be after somebody. And he was the son of somebody. He couldn't just say Shamgar did something. He was so insignificant, they felt like they had to explain, the writers of the scripture felt like they had to explain who Shamgar was. He was his son. He came after this guy, and he was this guy's son. It'd be like if Pastor Struth came up here and said, we're going to have somebody speak today. He's coming after me. His name's Tony. He's the son of Larry. That just kind of puts me in between. Shamgar was, according to our standards, would be so insignificant that he had these little scriptures. There's no big banners written about him. There's no full chapters. He's not listed among the great biblical heroes. He's not something you would learn anywhere. In fact, a lot of you guys may have never even heard of him. But he is going to give us an example that I think we should live by. I know I need to live by this example. The second place where we find Shamgar, he's mentioned just in passing. It doesn't even talk about him. It talks about the time he lived. Judges 5:6 says, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the roads were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths. Now let's talk about this guy. We know who he was. He was just a farmer. We know when it was. Let's talk about when it was. Just a little background. When Shamgar came along, he was living in a time where the Philistines were controlling what was going on with the Israelites. The Israelites did not have a king. They did not have a standing army. As a matter of fact, history tells us they didn't even have weapons. The Philistines had taken the weapons. They knew how to work iron and stuff. In order for someone to have a sharpened thing, they had to go over and let the Philistine blacksmith do it. They had taken the weaponsmith, they had taken the ironsmith and the blacksmith. They didn't even live there. This was a people without even weapons. They were a helpless, weak, fearful people. The second scripture tells us in the days of Shamgar, the people were taking the winding roads. What that is saying is the main highway. They wouldn't even go on the main highway because they were afraid of the Philistines. They were afraid of everybody. They were afraid they were going to get attacked. So they'd go through the dark, winding path. They'd go through the woods rather than on the highway because they were so afraid. This is the time where Shamgar is living. Now, where was he? He was living in the promise. He was living in the land that God had given him. He was living at the right place, but at the wrong time. That's where a lot of us are. We find ourselves at the right place, and it seems like it's the wrong time, but it's the wrong time for one reason. We have not taken a stand. We have not stood our ground and say, you know what? I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm who I'm supposed to be. I just need to take a stand and realize whose I am. You understand that? A lot of times we are standing exactly where God wants us. And we're who God has called. But we don't take a stand. And we're letting people run all over us. We're letting sickness come on us. We're letting Satan take our families. We're letting Satan take our finances. We're letting Satan run the show because we won't stand up and realize who we belong to. We've forgotten who we are. Now, this old boy, now, in the seminary, they teach you to do something that's called exegetical preaching. That's where you take the scripture, you break down almost every word. You find out what it says in the Greek. If it's Old Testament, you find out what it says in Hebrew. You look that up. You find out what theologians say about it. You break a scripture down to a million parts. Well, I'm not doing that today. As a matter of fact, Pastor may cut his eyes at me. I'm not going to look over there because what I say may not be completely theologically sound because that's the only two scriptures about Shamgar. So I'm just going to tell you Shamgar's story like I think it went down because there are some historical facts that I know that aren't listed in the Bible. We can look up and find some things. And some of the historical facts go like this. So I'm gonna tell you Shamgar's story my way. So y'all hold on. Let me get rid of this phone. Not because it's going to go off, but it keeps bouncing around in my pocket and it feels funny. That just feels funny. We were somewhere and my wife is from the Caribbean, and so, you know, reggae is kind of the thing. And I was preaching somewhere and she didn't know I was preaching yet. So she called me and that thing went off and it was like Bob Marley. But, don't worry about a thing. So I don't want that to happen today. So that way if it goes off, it's over there. And I was like, honey, turn your phone off. Now we'll talk about Shamgar. Now I'm going to get real with you guys a little bit and I hope I don't offend you, but there were some things going on. The Israelites were living in fear. They had no weapons. What they were doing, they were farming. And every year when it was harvest time, Philistines would come up over that hill. Because the Philistines did one thing. They made weapons and they made war. They didn't grow plants. They didn't raise crops. They didn't keep farms. The reason was because they were a warring people. They fashioned weapons. That's what they were known for. And they would come over that hill and they would come down and they would just wipe through the Israelites. They would take everything they wanted. They would take the food. They would take the animals. And this is going to be real now, so y'all hold on. They would take the wives and the daughters. They'd take the sons and make them slaves. They'd take the daughters and wives and, well, we'll just stop there. This is what happened every year. Every year. The enemy would sweep in and take everything they had, leaving just enough to survive for the year so they could plant for the next year so they could come and do it again. This happened time and time and time again. And you got to realize who this was. This was God's chosen people, the blessed ones, the ones that God chose to be the ones that want to. That was his folks. That was his peeps. Those were God's people. And they were allowing this worthless, in fact, they were the fish people. They worshiped a god named Dagon, they look like a fish head. And they come in and they would just wipe out these people. This happened every year. Every year. And there was these caves and things. And so when they had somebody up on the hill and he'd sound the alarm. And what had been a call to war, a shofar blowing, a ram's horn blowing, which had previously been a call to war, had turned into a call to run. And so he'd blow that horn, and all of the Israelites would go hide in the caves, just leave everything down there. Because if they didn't, they'd be killed. The daughters would be taken. Wives and daughters violated. Sons turned into slaves. They couldn't stop them from taking their crops and animals, but they could hide their families. Well, this is what's happening every year. until. This may be happening in your life. Satan may keep coming in and sweeping in and taking everything you have until that one day, my old boy Shamgar, he had had enough. I believe he was working in his field and he heard that, looked around, his neighbors are running. All his people running. He remembered. I remember my neighbor lived on this side and he didn't get out fast enough. I remember what they did to his daughter. I remember how they burned his house. I remember how they tortured and killed him and made it a sport. And he's sitting there and the rage came in him. And something clicked inside him. You know what it is? It's the Holy Spirit. It's what he has in him. It's what you have in you. That same Holy Spirit that came over David that allowed him to kill a lion and a bear and a giant is the same Holy Spirit that's in you right now today. That's what we forget, y'all. We forget that same Holy Spirit, the same Jesus that stood in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he'll do it again. Because it's the same. He's the same. He is outside of time. He looks into time and he reaches in where you are right now and fills you with exactly what they had back then. That same thing came over Shamgar that day. He rolled his neck a little bit. He's like, I have had enough. I have had enough. I'm done running from these punks. I am a child of God. I am a chosen one, and this is the land he gave me, and I'm sick of them killing my neighbors and my friends, and my daughter and wife are hiding in a cave, and I'm done with it. And I don't care if they kill me. I'm not moving. So he realized who he was. He said, you know what? I may have a funny name, but I'm going to... It's a name. It's a name that goes back in history. I'm a chosen child of God. I am one of his people, and I'll not be moved this day. So I can imagine his friends come by. Whoo. Hey, Shamgar, let's roll, buddy. Just get it. They're coming. Did you hear the horn? Did you hear it? Time to go to the caves. He said, I don't think I'm going today. What? Are you crazy? Do you know what those people are? They're warriors. That's all they do. It's like fighting Spartans. That's all they do. No, I'm not going today. You go ahead. All right, that's all you, buddy. You mind if I have your oxen? Shamgar's wife and children come out. Okay, Shammy, let's go. We're packed. That's what she calls him. Shammy. It's like that towel you clean your car with. Okay, baby, let's go. We're ready. Go ahead, honey. I'm not going today. What? No, I'm not going. You have to go. Think about me. Think about the children. I am thinking about you. I'm tired of running. It's time for me to stand up and be a man. It's time for me to take a stand in this place because this is what God gave us. See these beans right here? They're my beans. See those children right there? They're my children. And no Philistine is going to come off that hill and take my children. Then I got to take my beans. Then I got to take my oxen. Because God gave it to me. All of it. And it's his and it's for me to protect and watch. She finally says, I love you, baby, but I'm out of here. You got a good looking cousin. I ain't worried about it. So she runs away. Now Shamgar's standing there. Shamgar has realized something. His first secret to success. He realized where he was. You know, God promised this to us. God has given me this place. God has given me this health. God has given me those children. God has given me. This is where God put me. I'm sorry, I dropped this. You got to clean up the church. This is the place God gave us. I didn't get it messy. God has given me this. I'll not be moved from this spot because he promised it to me, and I'm going to stay here. So his first secret to success, he realized where he was. His second secret to success, he realized who he was. And in realizing who he was, he realized whose he was. He said, you know, I can follow my lineage back. I can follow back. And we were rulers of this. We came in and wiped everybody out of this place. This is our house. We will protect this house. Get all Under Armour on it. The young guys knew what they were. Some of y'all go, what is he talking about? It's a commercial. He realized who he was. He realized who he was in God. He realized who he was. And that's his secret to success. He realized who he was. He realized where he was. And the most important thing, he realized what he had. Now, they didn't have any weapons. So Shamgar's looking around. I think it went like this. I got me's an ox goad. That ain't much. Now, ox goad was a stick about this long. It had a sharp point on one end, which I don't have, and had a flat side on the other end. The sharp point was for what? Goading oxen. Thus, ox goad. They weren't very creative back then, were they? This end had a flat end. That was for digging the mud out of the plowshare. And some of you have farmed in the state of Alabama, and you realize red clay. I don't think an ox goad would have worked on red clay in Alabama. Evidently, they have much better soil than we do, because that's all he used that for. And this side, to poke the oxen. Now, he's looking at this thing, and he says, well, it's what I got. You know what, though? I know who I am. I know where I am, and I know what I got. So what God put in his hands was something that he was familiar with. He used this thing every day. Old boy might have been good with it. Old fella might have knew what to do. He'd goaded enough oxen in his day. Get up there, Bessie. Bessie's a mule, ox, whatever. Because there's not a lot of Bessies most of these places where I preach. Someone's like, is he talking about me? So if there's a Bessie in here, I apologize. So he's realizing, you know what? It's what I have. It's who I am. It's what I've got. Lord, it's all I got, but it's yours. I feel something on me. There's a fire in me. There's something burning in me, and I'm tired of running, and I'm tired of them taking my family, and I'm tired of them taking my beans, and I'm tired of them conquering me, and I'm tired of being sick, and I'm tired of being tired, and I'm done. So God, bless me, or get ready to see me. Because them fish people's coming. Now, let's switch gears. Now we're up on the ridge with the Philistines. Old boys are sitting up here, whole battalions of them, 6 battalions of 100 men. They're sitting there, and the old general's sitting there. He's got his tent set up. He looks at his subordinates there and says, now, why don't you go down there, get all the wheat. I like bean soup, so give me some beans. Bring me some cows. I'd like steak tonight. And bring me some of them Israelite women. Now go. Guy looks there whispering to each other, and he says, what? What's going on? He said, well, there's one of them still down there. We'll go kill him. Send the guy down there to kill him. So the guys are Shambona, see who gets to go down there? Yeah, I got him. I kill him. So he put his sword on. He got his shield. He got on his chariot. And he come rolling down that hill. And so the commander and the general's watching. Or the commander's looking. All of a sudden, he's like a ninja. Next thing you know, that guy's been goaded to death. He may have shovel-ended him. He may have ox-goaded-ended him. But whatever it was, that guy's laying in a heap. So the commander goes, what just happened? Did our guy stumble? Was the sun in his eyes? Y'all go there and get him. So he sends about five or six down. Done. Goaded. And piled up, stacked up like cordwood. What in the world? Go get him. So now he's sending 25 guys at a time. And he's just piling them up. Now, he goes to the commander, the general. He says, where's my beans and women? He said, that guy's kind of beating us down. He says, well, send everybody. He says, all 600? Send them and bring me my bean soup. Now, they come down like a flood, like the Crimson Tide coming off a mountain. They come rolling down that thing. That old boy's just standing there. Lord, I put what I have in your hands. Help me. And, man, they are flying out of there. They are coming out. There's bodies going everywhere. Everywhere. I need to borrow some. You, Brandon, you two, you three. All of you guys come up here. All right, y'all sit down in here. Just kind of pile up in there right there. So, now, Shamgar probably wasn't much bigger than me. Probably a little less hefty right through here. But these Philistines were big like these boys. Here's some big boys. Let me see how many I got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Y'all, that's 11. I couldn't take one of them guys, much less two or three, not even with this stick. That's just 11 guys. Look how big a pile that is right there. That's a big pile of boy flesh right there. That's a heap of men. Y'all, 600. Using evangelical and ecclesiastic counting, there's 200 people in here. 600. Y'all, we couldn't stack up 600 men on this stage if we stacked them up like bricks. Okay, you guys can go back now. They're making me nervous sitting over there. I don't want to get all Philistine on me. Y'all. Can you imagine what that looked like? Because we read these scriptures in the Bible and we don't realize what actually happened. We don't realize the logistics of that. That was 11 people. Did you see how much of a pile that was right there? Can you imagine 600 dead, seasoned, conditioned, armored warriors? Because they did not know who they were messing with. One old farmer with a stick in a bean field full of the Holy Ghost, full of the power of the Holy Ghost, full of, because he knew some things, his secrets of success. He knew where he was, he knew who he was, he knew what he had. This stick became a mighty rod. This stick was like a weapon of mass destruction. It took out 600 people in a matter of hours. They kept coming. He kept killing. More of them that came, the more of them that killed. How many did you kill? How many did they send? Now, I'm looking at this old general up on the top of the hill, and he looks at his commander. It's just him and the commander left. He said, what are we going to do now? He said, we're going home. He said, forget them beans. And Israelite women don't look that good. I'm going to the house because we can't beat him. Why, sir? Why can't we beat him? Because he knows something we don't know. He's got something we ain't got. Let's go back home. The last part of that scripture with Shamgar said, and he saved Israel. That tells me them boys didn't come back over that hill again, because they're going, hey, if one can't do that, what if he brought his brother? What if two were gathered together? What if two agreed in one thing? If one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight, we've got to remember who we are. We've got to remember where we are, but mostly we remember what we've got and who has given us the power. Who has given us the power? Now that's the story told Tony Way. Now let's look at his secrets for success. He remembered where he was. He remembered whose he was. He remembered what he was fighting for. He remembered what he had in his hand. It wasn't a long pointed stick. It was the power of the Holy Ghost. Same thing you've got in your hand. No matter what your talent is, no matter what your stick is, no matter what your ox goad is, when you put it in God's hand, it's like putting two little fish, two little loaves and five little fish, and see what happens to that. Whatever we give him, he can make powerful. It's just, he's just waiting for you to give it to him, because in the beginning, he gave it to you. He's already given you what you need to win the battle you're going to face. Me and Shirley didn't know we had in us what it was going to take. Because I'll be honest with you, when she was laying there hooked up to those things, that chemo was going into her and clumps of her hair was falling out, and I was trying to hide it from her, and my kids were saying, what's wrong with mommy? And I was sitting there. I did not have in me what it took, but I did. That's when the Holy Spirit took over. That's when my wife hooked up to those tubes, looked at me and said, but if not, I'll serve him anyway. Now, this is where it goes from Shamgar's story to your story. Where are you? Has the enemy been coming against you like a flood? The word says, when he comes against me like a flood, you'll raise a standard. You know what a standard is? It's not a stick. It's nothing but a flag. It's a flag with a family crest on it. All he's got to do is put that flag up, and that enemy's like, whoa, I didn't realize he was in that house. We have allowed the Philistines to take our stuff. We have allowed our children to be taken. We have allowed our finances to be taken. We have allowed our health to be taken, because we have not taken a stand and said, I will not be moved from this spot. I am called. I am anointed. I am chosen. I am his child. I am going to stand here, because I'm full of the Holy Ghost and I can take him. It's your story. It's your story. You've got to remember where you are and start from right here. Don't wait for the perfect place to do ministry. It doesn't exist. There's not a perfect place to do ministry. Where Jim Elliot, I don't know if you know who he is. He is the guy, if you ever saw the movie End of the Spear, Jim Elliot was a missionary, and he went down into like the Amazon down there, and he prayed, and he said, God, I think you're going to use me. And he landed, and he got out of his plane, and they stabbed him and killed him. Wow, I missed that. That's not the kind of missionary I want to be. But what happened through that, his son went down there, and that whole tribe ended up becoming Christians because of the testimony of that man who would give his life. Well, Jim Elliot said this: wherever you are, be there. Wherever you are, be there. Don't say, oh, if I could just get up there, if I could just get to that church, if I could just get to this, if I just had this much money, if I just had this much time. Wherever you are, be there. Stand your ground and fight for what is yours. Don't think if, there's no if, it's now. Wherever you are, be there. Don't wait for the perfect time. It never comes. Believe me, I know. I waited for the perfect time. Now, guys, that don't count with wives. Don't settle. Wait for the perfect one. Even don't wait as long as I did. You turn into old maid. You end up cleaning house. Don't wait for the perfect time. Wherever you are, start there. whenever it is, start now. Don't say, if I could just, if this would just happen, man, I'd witness, I'd go out there, I'd help the homeless. Do it. Do it. Start here, start now. You think Bill Gates has more hours in a day than you do? Do you think these great authors like John Grisham, Max Lucado, you think they got more hours in a day? Do you think Mother Teresa had more than 24 hours in a day? They didn't have more time than you did. They just used it. And by you, y'all, I'm talking to me. This is more to me than y'all. Y'all may be perfect, but this is kind of whipping me up. This is beating me down pretty good because that's me. I tell Shirley, man, if I just get this degree, I'll be ready. No, I need a master's degree. If I just get a master's degree, I'll be ready. If I get picked at that church, I'll be ready. There's no perfect time. Just do it. Because you have families, you have friends, you have life that is passing you by because you have not taken the time. Speaking of time, now, the most important thing, remember who you are and remember what you've got in your hand. What talents has God given you? What desires has he given you? What is your availability? What can you do? I don't care if your talent is pulling the weeds out of this flower bed out there. Do it to the glory of God. Do it, whatever it is. Don't try to get somebody else's talent. I played softball with a lot of these guys in here, and I can guarantee you one thing that happened. Anytime any one of us hit a home run, the next five people use the same bat. I did it, man. If Tim hit a home run, man, I was like, what bat did you use? It wasn't in the bat. Don't try to use somebody else's bat. Don't put on Saul's armor if you're David. Use what you got in your hand, a sling and a rock and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Use what you've got. But sometimes you got to let go of what's in your hand that's keeping you from picking up your weapon. You're holding on to something else. You're holding on to the wrong thing. I've told y'all this before, but I'm going to tell you again. In Africa, the way they catch monkeys to eat and skin is they dig a hole in a termite mound. And they dig a hole just big enough, and they put an apple in it, and then they pack it up, and it's just big enough for the monkey to put his hand in. But if he grabs the apple, he can't pull it out. And that monkey will go up and put his hand in that thing and grab that apple and will stand there holding that apple because he can't pull it out until he dies. Or they come along and bash his head in with a club. Y'all, that's kind of stupid. How many times have I done that in my life? Just not letting go of something that's going to kill me. Just let go of it because you can't pick up your weapon. You can't pick up anything that God has given you that's going to be a weapon for you if you're holding something else. Drop what's in your hand. Jim Elliot also said, it is a wise man who lets go of what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And y'all, the last thing, last way your story can be successful is Shamgar's. Just do it. Get all Nike on it and just do it. Don't wait around. Use your talent. Use whatever it is. The great philosopher Bear Bryant says, I don't need a player that's an excellent talent. I want an average player that's got extraordinary desire and heart. Use whatever you've got. Use it now. Do it now. The great author C.S. Lewis said, the present is the point where time meets eternity. Y'all, eternity starts right now. Right now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Your family's dying and going to hell. Your finances are being snatched right out of your hand. Your health is being taken right away from you. We are standing by and letting our friends and neighbors walk straight into hell because we're not doing anything about it. I urge you, I urge me, stand your ground. Realize who you are. Realize whose you are. See what you have. Give it to the Lord and let him use it, and you can defeat the enemy 600-1. And if a bunch of y'all gather together and do it, There's no stopping Alabaster Church of God. There is no stopping the children of God. There's no stopping the church. There's no stopping you if you realize who you are. If you shake off that sleep that's come over you and that fear, and it doesn't have to be a weapon. You don't have to have the best weapon. You just got to have something that God has put in your hand that you're used to, that you're doing every day, and do it for the glory of God through the power of the Holy Ghost, and He'll change lives, and He'll change destiny, and He'll change things. We can make a difference if we just shake off the sleep. The time is now. The place is here. The weapon's in your hand. The Holy Ghost is ready. You can change destiny. Because the last line of that scripture says, "And He saved Israel." One old boy standing in a bean field with a stick saved an entire nation. How much more do we have? How many more resources do we have? How much more of God do we have? God, we live in the modern age. We could shake this world if we would just realize what we have at our disposal. I'm through, and I appreciate you guys being patient. And I appreciate y'all turning that air back on. If you just stand with me, please. I'm not going to ask you guys to come up here. But I am going to ask you this. I'd like you to close your eyes, and I want you to just, I don't want you to answer this from me. This is between you and God. I want you to search yourself. Have you been running to the caves in fear? Have you been hiding on the byways? Have you been taking the winding roads because you're afraid of the main path? Has the Philistines, has the enemy been sweeping in and taking everything you have? Search your heart today. Are you ready for war? Have you had enough? Are you ready for God to do it again in your life? Are you ready to realize who you are, where you are, what you have, and who will anoint it? You are called. You are anointed. You are chosen. Realize who you are. You are not who they said you were. You are not what the critics said you were. You are not what the cynics say you are. You are not what they labeled you to be. You are not what everybody tells you. You are chosen. You are chosen. You are bought by a price. You are a conqueror. You are an overcomer. You are a child of the King. You are a special one. You are His heir to heaven. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, I am who I am says that I am. And you are too. Realize that today. Lord, I thank You and I praise You for this opportunity today. Lord, I ask You to anoint this group. Lord, Your anointing has been on them for years. Let them realize who they are. Shake off the sleep, Lord. Shake off the fear. Lord, let them be what You have called them to be. Let this church be an army. God, You have placed a man of God in this church. You placed a set man in this house that can move this church into a whole new world. You can take this community. You can take this city. You can take this nation through this house, through this place, through these people. Lord, anoint them and fill them with Your power. The Holy Ghost that came on David. The Holy Ghost that came on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Holy Ghost that came on Shamgar. Anoint them this day. And we give You praise and honor and glory. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you for your patience. And I thank you to let me massacre something theologically. Pastor, thank you again.